I'd already known Jared was approaching. I'd felt it in my bones. He laid a hand on the small of my back and greeted Bennington. To his credit, he was as civil and relaxed as he had been to the other vampires, giving nothing away about his hatred of him. Bennington spoke. "I was just saying to Samantha that my interest in her is still great. Victor was never open to negotiations about selling her. I wondered about your own willingness to do so." His facial expression and cunning smile told me that he was confident that Jared wouldn't be possessive over a consort.
"I'm afraid my interest in her is just as great," replied Jared,
as his arm snaked around my waist once again. "Oh, I didn't mean my interest in her is as a consort, no. But if the idea of losing a consort bothers you much, I'm sure we can come to some arrangement." He gestured at his own consort, a blonde Kaja, who was gazing at Jared like he was a Christmas treat. I had to fight against the urge to cook up a gust of wind that would get her away from Jared and out of my sight.
"No disrespect to you or your consort, but my answer is a resounding no. I'm nowhere near finished with this woman yet," he added in a cheeky voice. "Enjoy your evening."
With that, he guided me back into the mansion.
I almost punched the sleazy son of a bitch.
"You're not the only one."
"What did he say while I was gone?"
"Just trying to entice me to become part of his little collection. Typically, he'd set up a fight-off between his best assassin and yours, me being the prize. But he hasn't got his team with him, so had to use a different tactic. He probably reasoned that I could take you on with my gift, and thought that if he could make me want to leave you, I could fight for my freedom or something." My brows arched as we entered the dining room to find plenty of vamps chomping on their consorts. It seemed that they were making a toast to Connolly for his hospitality. I knew what Jared would say next, and instead of it unnerving me, the idea excited me.
"It would be rude not to join in toasting our good host, don't you think?"
Before I could say a word, he'd spun me around and was grazing his teeth over the pulse in my neck.
"Sam."
I couldn't believe that he was actually asking my permission and keeping to his word that he wouldn't do it unless I wanted him to. As his teeth grazed my skin again, I quivered.
"Do it. I've wanted to taste you for so fucking long."
He fisted a hand in my hair, yanked my head back slightly, and sank his teeth down hard. As he took a long, greedy gulp, he moaned against my skin. The moan vibrated through every fiber of me. Instantly, desire began to coil low in my stomach, and tingly sensations overtook my body, which he kept crushed to his as he continued to drink greedily.
"You taste so good, baby."
The tingling intensified when he called me that, which was dumb, really, because it wasn't like I hadn't been called that before. And it wasn't as if I hadn't been told that my blood tasted good before now. And yet, hearing Jared say those words had a primal, raw desire, like nothing I'd ever felt before, coursing through me. I was a little light-headed by the time he had ceased his gluttonous drinking. When he looked up at me, his irises were glowing, making me hitch in a breath. What I really, really, really wanted to do was bite down on his neck and have my own little party, but I knew that was against consort etiquette. Instead, I grabbed the index finger of his left hand and brought it up to my mouth slowly, giving him time to object. He didn't. I sank my teeth into the tip of his finger and sucked eagerly, making him moan and shudder. God, the taste of his blood was amazing, wild and potent, with a male spice to it. Conscious that a little too much of my saliva could have him emptying into his pants, I took only a little before stopping.
"It is so time to leave."
He gripped my hips tightly, and then we were gone. I barely noticed the queasy sensation in my stomach this time, as I was too hyped up on anticipation and excitement, and on Jared's blood. I definitely had to taste that again sometime soon. He didn't ease his tight hold on my hips, even as we arrived at his apartment. His gaze was serious and penetrating, searching mine.
"Tell me," he breathed against my lips. "Say it.
I want you." And then he was kissing me, kissing me so hard and so desperately, and clutching me to him as though he was half expecting me to disappear. The very second that those lips touched mine, there was that familiar bang, an explosion in my veins, and the sensation of a hot, raging fire spreading through me, just as I knew there would be. I fisted my hands in his shirt, pulling him to me, refusing to accept that there wasn't a way of getting any closer. His hungry, greedy kisses devoured my lips and overwhelmed my tongue. As I pulled at his shirt with such force that I involuntarily took backward steps, he stalked me predatorily and slid his hands all over me, never parting our lips. We stumbled and staggered and swayed, and then my back slammed against something hard, smooth and cold. Opening my eyes, I realized with surprise that rather than being halfway through his apartment, we had at one point somehow spun around, and now I was crammed against the front door. Jared, too, opened his eyes and was equally surprised. He braced his hands against the door, forming his own little prison around me, grinning.
"I hope you're not trying to escape, but I guess restraining you might be fun."
"I hope this isn't your idea of caging me in, because if it is, your cage is kind of..." I wiggled his outstretched arms. "Flimsy." He slammed his body against mine, crushing me. I could feel his heart hammering in his chest. I could see those red pagori irises glowing.
"Better."
I pursed my lips. "Yes, but I could still get away."
"Not a chance."
He kissed me so hard and with such intensity that it was as though he meant to back up his words, that he was letting me know that he wouldn't let me pull back this time, that he wouldn't allow me to pretend any longer, that I didn't want this as much as he did. Still, that didn't mean I couldn't play with him a little, did it? While his hands were preoccupied with scrunching and tugging my hair, I slid my hands down his chest to his waistline and bunched up the bottom of his shirt, which I'd noticed did not button all the way down, and so could only be removed by being pulled over his head. Perfect for what I had in mind. I slowly slid it up and up, and then, just as I'd hoped, he raised his arms for me to slide it over his head. God, he was all muscle and sinew. Instead of tucking the shirt off, however, I left it covering his face and trapping his arms slightly as I used the opportunity to escape. I squeezed out from between his gorgeous body and the door and bolted, calling over my shoulder. "That was just too easy." I heard him mumble something in surprise, and then he was pursuing me as I nimbly dashed at human speed around the living area, hopping from the floor to the coffee table to the sofa to the... Arms seized me abruptly. I was twisted around in those arms, and lips found mine as my legs were simultaneously wrapped around his hips. Again, my back collided into something hard, and the wind was literally knocked out of me. Jared chuckled.
"I can't believe you just did that."
As he resumed kissing me wildly, his hands, fingers splayed, skimmed up my thighs and under my dress.
"You won't get away again."
I smiled against his lips. "You have this habit of underestimating me." He rocked his hips against mine, making me moan and tighten my arms around his neck.
"Same goes for you, if you still really think you won't be calling out my name."
"Like I said, it's nothing personal. I don't call out anyone's name."
"We'll see."
Jared's eyes bore into mine as he let his hands journey further, cupping my arse. While one hand lightly ran over my breast, he slid his other hand, fingers splayed again, further underneath my thigh. It was almost painful when his fingers stopped on reaching my thong, refusing to go any further. Unable to help it, I twisted my hips toward his hand, but he only drew his fingers back, smirking. "Fine. Let's play some more, shall we?" It was a squeeze since he was pressed tightly to me, but my hand slid down his naked chest and reached the waistline of his trousers and slowly tackled his belt, my eyes still meeting his. With the belt gone, I took the button and zip out of the equation. Then I tried lowering my legs. He let me, anticipating what I had in mind. I pushed slightly against his chest, creating just enough room for me to slide down the wall. I placed my mouth against the tip of the erection that was straining against his trousers and exhaled heavily, making him groan. As I planned, he was now off guard. I tugged on both his trousers and his underwear, pulling them all the way to his ankles. A horse would be envious of what I was looking at right now. I met his eyes and smiled. And then I dived to the side, sprung to my feet, and bolted again. Typical male, the slightest chance of getting sucked off and your mind went blank. Still at human speed, I rushed past the conference table. I could hear him struggling behind me, obviously a little delayed by the fact that his ankles were more or less bound by his own pants. Soon, though, he was chasing me again. I leaped onto the counter in the kitchen and ran along the length of it, hopping over the hob and other appliances. Cheating, he came after me at vampire speed and caught me just as I reached the end of the counter. It was a good tackle, I'll give him that. Suddenly we were diving toward the floor. He twisted his naked body to break my fall and then immediately rolled on top of me, grinning evilly.
"Bitch," he said endearingly.
His lips came down onto mine, almost teasing in the way that they moved now.
"As it hardly seems fair that I'm naked and you're fully clothed."
He ripped open my dress, tearing the entire length of it. He moaned the view he then had of my body. I liked that dress.
"I'll buy you a new one," he murmured against the column of my throat.
Starting there, his lips began working their way down in a straight line, kissing the hollow of my throat and between my breasts and along my abdomen until he reached my navel. Then he gazed up at me, wearing a knowing smile. He was perfectly aware that I was desperate for him to go further, to remove my thong, to use more than just his lips. But again, he seemed intent on teasing the life out of me. Being teased really wasn't my thing, but neither was begging for what I wanted. Fine. Let the games continue. I pulled my leg toward my chest and swiftly untied the straps of my shoe before flinging it to the side of me. Jared's eyes had followed the movement closely, sliding a hand along my leg. Correctly anticipating that I would do the same with the other leg, he elevated his body a little to allow me better access to my shoe. That was all I needed. The second my shoe was off, I pushed him backwards with my foot, rolled from beneath him and scrambled to my feet. He grabbed an ankle, but I wrestled free and bolted again. I didn't get far this time before he had scooped me up into his arms, laughing.
"Okay, fair enough. I did underestimate you."
His voice suddenly became deep and rough as we entered another room.
"This is where we find out if you underestimated me."
Then I was flung onto a soft surface, making me bounce and giggle. The material beneath me was silky smooth. Silk, then, obviously. Details of the room barely registered. The warm gold, cream and ivory theme continued in here, as did the solid oak flooring. The bed I was on was absolutely huge and the sheets were golden. Jared slowly crawled up the length of me, bringing his angelically gorgeous face to mine. His lips and tongue overwhelmed my mouth as my torn dress was removed entirely. He gripped my wrists and drew my hands above my head. There was then tearing and fumbling, as a strip of my destroyed dress was used to bind my wrists together and secure them to the iron headboard.
"Shall I tell you what's going to happen now?"
He moved his mouth to my ear.
"First, I'm going to play with these gorgeous tits here, suck on these pretty little nipples. Then I'm going to fuck you with my fingers and my tongue until you come in my mouth. Only then will I slide my cock inside you. It's not going to be slow and gentle, Sam. I'm gonna fuck you hard and fast until you come so hard you scream. And you know what you'll scream? My name."
Jared. Before she could deny it again, I tugged on her bottom lip with my teeth and slipped my tongue inside her mouth. Sam met it with her own, stroking it and sucking on it while she arched beneath me. A groan escaped me as I palmed and kneaded her full breasts. Christ, the feel of her. No fantasy had lived up to it. I'd almost surged inside her when I had her against the front door. But having waited way too long, I was going to make the most of every minute of it. The way she was protesting with her body wasn't helping me restrain myself from taking her right now, and her burning gaze told me that she knew it. I swooped down and took a nipple into my mouth, suckling and nibbling and licking, and then curling my tongue around it. When her moans became whimpers, I closed my mouth over her other nipple and gave it the same attention, loving every raspy moan she made. That amazing scent of hers, vanilla musk with a hint of honeycomb, was shooting up my nostrils and threatening to splinter my self-control. Suddenly her legs were around my hips, and her thighs were squeezing to bring me closer so she could thrust her hips toward mine. I nearly lost it there and then. Bringing my face to hers, I gave her a reprimanding look. And here was me thinking that you'd be a good girl.
Not in my nature.
Smiling a little devilishly, I trailed a hand down, 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 at what I guessed was a frustratingly slow pace.
Jared,
she growled warningly. You can take it.
You're tough.
On reaching her thong, I tore it and chucked it aside, taking a minute to enjoy the view. Perfect.
In case you haven't already guessed, I really don't like being teased.
I arched a brow. It never bothered you when you were doing it to me. Besides, I've been waiting a long time for this, Sam. I'm not rushing it. I chuckled at her low growl, and then slid a finger between her wet folds and circled her clit. Is this what you want? She moaned.
Jared, no more teasing.
Was that a please?
What's the matter? Aren't you very good with your hands? Seriously, is this the best you can do?
I had to admire her spirit, but I wasn't going to let her get away with taunting me. I sent that familiar electrical charge through my body and out of my finger, onto her clit. She bounced, gasping, as the electricity zinged through her. I smiled evilly.
You decide.
I released another charge. And another. And another. Always watching her, reveling in every moan and groan she made. Then I slipped two fingers inside her. Her gasp was gratitude and pleasure mixed together.
You're so wet, baby,
I murmured as I thrust my fingers in and out of her. I released one final electrical charge, and then, sensing that she was at the crest of an orgasm, replaced my fingers with my tongue. That pushed her over the edge, as four lashes of my tongue later, she shattered, her entire body convulsing as the orgasm overtook her. I wasn't done. The taste of her was addictive. I continued tormenting her with my tongue, alternating between stabbing deeply inside her and suckling on her clit over and over until she exploded once more. Snatching her gaze, I crawled back up to her.
Get ready to call out my name for me, Sam. Not gonna happen,
she panted. In one quick movement, I hooked her legs over my shoulders and slammed inside her. Her back bowed from the bed as a husky cry tore out of her throat. Take more, baby. I reared back and then rammed in deep, groaning as her muscles tightened around my cock. All of me. Again, I roughly plunged inside her, forcing her to take every inch. Finally, I was buried balls deep in her body. Finally, I was where I needed to be. That was it. The little control I'd had left just snapped. Every thrust was deep, fast, hard, urgent, almost violent. There was a sense of relief mixed in with it all. The urge to do this had been repressed for way too long. "Oh my God," she rasped. "Look at me." Aquamarine eyes met mine, and a shudder ran through me. "Do you like me fucking you hard? Do you? Tell me." When she didn't answer, I abruptly slowed my movements, until they were practically sluggish.
"What are you doing? Don't tease."
All innocence, I said, "I asked if you liked it hard. When you didn't answer, I figured you wanted it slow."
"Bastard."
That wasn't nice. Maybe I should just stop. I withdrew from her body completely and smiled at her low growl. "What's the matter, baby? Do you want my cock back inside you?"
"Yes,"
she bit out. "You sure?"
"Yes."
I slammed into her, driving deep, but then kept my movements slow as I thrust in and out of her. When she began writhing restlessly, I asked, "You want more?" She nodded, moaning. "You want me to fuck you hard again?"
"Yes."
"Then I'm afraid you're going to have to beg for it." I almost laughed as her mouth fell open. Seeing that she was about to curse me, I pounded hard into her once, and then went back to soft and slow. Again she growled. "Beg me, baby. Beg me to fuck you hard, and I will." Again, I abruptly punched my cock hard inside her, before going back to gentle thrusts, every now and then giving her another hard, singular thrust. Soon she was so totally mindless that she was whimpering. "You need to come?" She nodded. "You need it harder?" Another nod. "Then give me what I want." It seemed like forever before she croaked out the one word,
"Please."
"Good girl." I reached up and destroyed the knot binding her wrists, and then I was ruthlessly powering into her, and she was clinging to me like I was the only solid thing in her world. She nipped my lips and tongue, lapping up each trickle of blood that came for those short seconds to the surface before the skin healed itself. I did the same, and with the combined bliss of the moment, of the taste of her blood, and of her Svente saliva running through me, I was about ready to break. I upped the speed to vampire momentum, groaning at the sensations that were so agonizingly good that they were at the same time bad and just about bearable. Seeing every feeling she was experiencing shining from her eyes spurred me on. Hunger, passion, desire, pleasure, pain, and intensified my own pleasure tenfold.
"God, Jared,"
out loud. I knew I was wearing a boyish, smug grin. "Out loud for me, baby." It went beyond wanting to hear her say it. I needed to hear it, though I didn't bother to try to understand why it was important. I tugged hard on her hair as I demanded, "Sam, now!" At last she screamed my name. Her muscles clamped around my dick like a vice, and I came harder than I ever had before in my life. "Son of a bitch!" At that very moment, she, without warning, sunk her teeth into my neck and drank like an alcoholic would from a whiskey bottle. My hand twisted in her hair and pressed her head closer, and by the time she was done, I actually exploded inside her a second time. She matched my smug grin, and she had every damn right to. Still all tangled together, we then tipped onto our sides. The silk sheets didn't seem so soft, now that I had the feel of Sam's skin beneath my hands. We just gazed at each other, as the tingly shudders from our orgasms slipped away. The silence wasn't awkward. No feeling that a big, fat, pink elephant was dancing and prancing around us. She didn't even squirm under my gaze the way she usually did. Minutes later, she puffed and glanced at the bedside clock.
"Well, I should go. We should forget this happened. Needless to say, it was a big mistake."
"What?" Even as I rolled us over and trapped her beneath me, she was laughing. "You better be kidding. You should see your face." The minx was still laughing. "It wasn't funny. No way will I let you go off into another state of denial." But I was chuckling even as I said it, mostly with shock. I hadn't thought it would bother me that much if she were to do that. I shook off the issue. "And never has anyone left me straight after sex."
"Oh, but it's okay when blokes do it."
"I'm not doing it." "I believe you were warned about the over and over and over again part." "Oh, and never has anyone run from me before." She shrugged, smiling sweetly.
"Just making you work for it a little."
"A little?"
"I took it easy on you.
You were like Houdini."
"But I stuck to human velocity. And I never used my gift either."
I brushed a kiss across her lips. "Feel free to conjure your whip sometime." She grinned.
"I'm not sure you could handle it. Not if you can't even manage one female svente."
In my defense, this one female svente is a hard ass.
"And you're used to girls throwing themselves at you rather than legging it away from you. Speaking of which, how did your consorts take it?"
"As I expected."
"Would I be right in thinking that Joy took it the worst?"
The memory of her plea entered my mind.
"What? You've got a weird look on your face. What did she do?"
"Nothing worth talking about."
"Your expression says otherwise. What happened?"
I sighed. Sam would no doubt find the truth shudder-worthy, but I didn't want to lie to her. I had a feeling that she would know if I did anyway. I rolled off her and onto my side. "Joy, guessed that I was getting rid of them because it was you I wanted. Though she actually thinks it's to make you my only consort."
"And?"
"Joy can make herself into a perfect replica of someone. So she offered to morph into you as often as I wanted, and then things could stay as they were." Sam grimaced, but I couldn't read her expression. She twisted her body to face mine.
"But you said no."
"You sound surprised."
"I am. I mean, as creepy as Joy's little offer sounds to me, it's probably a decent one from a bloke's point of view. You could have kept your consorts and still, sort of, shagged me."
I kissed her neck as I spoke. "It wouldn't have been you, so it wouldn't have been real. She wouldn't ever kiss me like you do, or tease me like you do. She wouldn't have had your scent, your voice, your blood, or your mind. And I wanted every part of you." I looked up at her then, shrugging. I guess that makes me a greedy, spoiled brat. Again, her expression was unreadable. She brought her face to mine and gave me a long, soft, searching kiss. Nothing like any kiss I'd ever had before. And just like that, I wanted her again. I snaked my hands around her and pulled her close, aligning her body to mine. I explored every curve and line all over again, but this time lightly and not so intensely, and never invasive. Wriggling and squirming in frustration, she said,
I'll tell you what, you don't tease me so much, and I won't fight you this time.
I'd say not a chance, but I did notice that my caging in techniques need some work. Not surprising, since I've never had to use them before. I rolled us so that I was draped over her. Let's see if we can get you calling out my name again. I brought my mouth down on hers, knotting my tongue with hers over and over.
Sam?
Hmm?
She murmured through another kiss. Promise me you won't go back into that state of denial again.
She seemed just as surprised to hear me say that as I was to hear me say it. I decided that it should be another one of those things that I knew was important, but didn't bother to try to understand. Whatever it was, it meant enough to me to voice it. Her fingertips traced my cheek.
No more denial. It's too late for that now, anyway.
This time, when my lips came down to hers, they moved fiercely and urgently. I then trailed my hands down to the backs of her thighs, raised her hips to mine, and surged deep inside her.
Chapter 13. Sam. Although I wasn't one for sprawling all over the bed in my sleep, and I usually curled up in a fetal position, I still liked to have my space. But when I woke up, I found myself nestled into Jared like a bird under the wing. I even had an arm draped over him. Usually I kept my arms huddled against my chest. Sure, I remember us getting into this position, Jared on his back with an arm curled round my waist, holding me to him as reverberations from more orgasms subsided. But how had I fallen asleep like this? And how had I actually slept the entire morning like this? I could try telling myself that I'd just been so wiped after such an eventful encounter with Jared. He had the stamina of a Trojan. Or I could try writing it off as a result of my stomach being so tanked before I fell asleep. I'd swallowed a decent amount of his blood, in addition to some NSTs. I could even pin the blame on the bed. It was, without a doubt, the comfiest bed in the world. But if I was honest, I would admit that the situation was nothing to do with any of those things, and everything to do with the fact that it was Jared who I was with. But I'd never tell him that. Just like I'd never tell him that he was by far the best shag I'd ever had. His ego was bad enough already. No one had ever touched me the way he had, hands exploring every part of me like he was learning and marking me. No one had ever been so intent on pleasuring me in every way possible, or gotten so much satisfaction from that. And then there was the way that he had looked at me, like every tiny flicker of emotion I felt was important. Sometimes something blazed in his eyes that I would have mistaken for possessiveness, if it weren't for how certain I was that this was just about sex for him. God, I'd forgotten what real sex was truly like. Sex with Victor didn't count as real, as far as I was concerned. I, me, hadn't been part of it. The desire he had made me feel hadn't been real. As such, I hadn't had an orgasm in years. Jared and his teasing had me climaxing again and again. In truth, I'd loved the teasing just as much as I'd hated it. It was beyond my understanding how he managed to hold back for as long as he had that first time. The hunger had been so evident in his expression. In fact, I couldn't understand why he had felt the need to restrain himself at all. Yeah, he'd said he didn't want to rush because he'd waited so long, but I didn't get why that would matter. Then again, Jared didn't operate in the same way that everyone else did. Like electrifying my clit and G-spot, for instance. That just wasn't normal. But God, it had felt so good. It had burned and sizzled and sent shooting sensations through me that were the perfect balance of pleasure and pain. As if I hadn't already been on fire, just by having him kiss and touch me. Over the edge I'd gone. Never had I thought he would make me lose control enough to call his name. But taking into account everything he made me feel, how could I not have? I hadn't just called it out that one time, either. Every single time he'd been inside me, without fail he'd reduced me to such a rapturous state that I would have called out anything he wanted. But after the first time, I hadn't needed asking again anyway. He'd been just as smug about it every time. The smugness was partly why I joked after our first round of sex about it all being a mistake. I just wanted to bring him back down to earth, but I really hadn't expected him to react so badly at the idea of it. Too many things about him I just didn't get. I got him, just not all of his reactions concerning me. I mean, come on. If joy could have morphed into me at his leisure, then it was a shock that he hadn't even tried it. Surely a girl-obsessed bloke wouldn't be so fussy and would prefer a collection of consorts to this casual shag. I really hadn't, and still didn't know what to think of it. In a way, it had somehow managed to sound sweet, especially when he had said that he wanted every part of me. Shrug. Well, now that he'd finally gotten what he wanted, his interest may have expired. It'd be a shame, as we seemed to have this weird, instinctive understanding of what the other liked and wanted, and it made us good together. In bed, I mean. Just in bed. Honest. Jared's perfect stillness and even breathing told me that he was still asleep. I'd happily have stayed there, but I was just so thirsty. Quietly and gently, I freed myself from his hold and edged myself further and further along the bed. Finally reaching the end, I gently pushed myself up. I hadn't even taken a step before an arm curled around my waist and I was dragged backwards, colliding with a naked body. Jared, his chest pressed against my back, nuzzled the crook of my neck. "Hey," he said a little sleepily. "Trying to escape before I woke up?" "I might have done if you hadn't destroyed my clothes."
"They were in the way."
"So were yours," I said, amused. "But I didn't tear them."
"No, you just used them to get me all tangled while you made a run for it."
He repeatedly kissed my neck gently, and almost instantly tingling started between my thighs. I was sure that I had the most sensitive neck in history.
"You taste so good."
"Are we talking about my skin or my blood?" A low chuckle tickled my ear.
"Both. And I can think of some other parts of you I enjoy tasting. But none of that beats being inside you. I fucking love that."
Then he proved that he meant it. In earnest. He proved it again when he teleported me to my apartment and joined me uninvited in the shower. Needless to say, that wasn't a problem. Then he proved it again in my bedroom once we dried off. See what I mean about the Trojan stamina? Little more than 10 seconds after our final round, there was knocking on the front door. Considering that both of us were lying on the bed, naked and panting, it seemed reasonable to ignore the visitor. But the knocker was relentless. Groaning, I got up and slipped into my white silk robe, which made Jared grin in a way that said he wouldn't mind shagging me while I wore it. "I better get that. It might be Sebastian. He and Antonio probably want to know how last night went." Seeing that Jared was making no moves to leave, I pointed at him. "If you're staying, then you stay in here. I don't want my business spread around."
"Anyone would think you were ashamed of me," he said lightheartedly, gently slapping my butt as I left the bedroom.
I flipped him the finger, scowling playfully. I was half expecting the knocker to have gone by now, but they tapped on the door again just before I reached it. Abruptly, all the tingly feeling still running through me fell away as I opened the door. It was his pained expression that did it, like a dog walking with its tail between its legs. "Max," I said, surprised. He smiled as he eyed my appearance, taking in my wet, disheveled hair. The smile didn't quite reach his eyes.
"Sorry, did I disturb your shower?"
Yeah.
Can I come in?
Saying no would be wise, but then that would mean that passers-by could do a little eavesdropping. I stepped aside, and his smile grew as he entered. He looked good, even in just his T-shirt and jeans, like a model from a catalogue or something.
Everything all right?
Yeah, I just had to know you were okay after having to go to that gathering last night. I know you can take care of yourself and everything, but...
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm good. There was no trouble or anything.
Good.
After an uncomfortable pause, he cleared his throat.
Listen, about what happened at the restaurant.
Max, it's fine.
No, it's not. I was out of line. I had no right to question you about things that weren't any of my business. It's just... Well, you already know I like you. I guess I'm just hoping that I haven't messed up any chances I might have had by coming across all paranoid.
I sighed. The thing is... I stopped as his eyes moved from mine to something over my shoulder, and his expression darkened. I turned my head to find Jared standing at the edge of the kitchen, casually swigging an NST. At least he'd put his pants on. I rolled my eyes at him. I thought you might do that, I grumbled. I might not want Max the way I did Jared, but I had no interest in tormenting him. Jared offered me an innocent smile and a small shrug of his shoulder. Dreading Max's reaction, I slowly swerved my head back round. To my surprise, he had pasted a fake smile on his face.
So it was that kind of night, he said.
Something that Fletcher would have said, in the exact playful tone that Fletcher would have used. What could I possibly say? I wasn't going to deny it. I had no reason to, other than I felt sorry for Max. But that wasn't a reason to lie to him, and it would only insult his intelligence anyway. Acting as though I bought his smile and pretense, I smiled back.
Yep. Well, I'd better go. Got training in about 20 minutes. Although there's a possibility that my trainer...
He nodded toward Jared.
Might be late.
Again, his tone was playful, empty of sourness. But I could detect the slight edge to it.
See you later at the arena, I said as he let himself out.
I then turned to Jared with a... Was that really necessary look on my face? He shrugged again and came toward me.
I did warn him that I wouldn't stay away from you. Not my fault if he didn't listen.
What happened to you staying in my bedroom out of sight?
Max won't do any blabbering, though he might blubber a little.
I slapped his upper arm as he reached me. Must you be so mean? He curled his arms around my waist.
I just think it's better for him that he knows.
My eyes narrowed.
Or was this about you trying to mark territory that wasn't yours to mark?
No.
Jared?
All right. I don't want anyone kissing you.
He planted a soft kiss on my mouth.
Or touching you.
He slid his hands up to my neck.
The way that I do. Is that really that bad?
And here I'd been thinking that maybe he was done with me after having his curiosity and horniness taken care of.
No, it's not bad. But the whole idea of casual sex is that there aren't any strings attached.
He sucked in a breath.
I think maybe we should get you a new handbook on casual sex, because you obviously haven't heard that there are special situations in which exclusivity can be brought into the mix.
Ah, but that would make me practically your consort, and we've been over this.
Jared inhaled heavily and made an sound as he released a breath.
Okay, fair enough. I'll just have to make sure you're permanently sated so that you don't have the time or energy for anyone else.
I smiled.
You're very welcome to try.
He did try just once more before teleporting back to his apartment to get ready for his session with the squad. That was probably why I had a huge smile on my face as I left my own apartment and headed to the command center. Instantly, Fletcher was on his feet, examining me from head to toe. Then he ushered me into my office, and an impish smirk broke free on his face.
You bonked Jared!
Several times.
He giggled. How was his performance?
You want me to resort to kiss and tell? Let's just say he topped the rest by far.
What happened to not wanting to be a consort? Not that I'm disapproving of you shagging him or anything.
I'm not Jared's consort.
And nor is Joy, Daniela, or Tammy. Fletcher's brows flew up.
He dumped them?
Yep.
Bloody hell. So are you two seeing each other now, then?
We're just two adults having fun.
Fun?
Fun. Fletcher gave me a look that questioned my IQ level.
Sam, love, a bloke like Jared doesn't change his lifestyle for fun.
I shrugged. Maybe I'm a lot of fun. Perceiving Fletcher's theory that maybe Jared saw things a little more serious as totally idiotic, I didn't even consider it. Instead, I got out the recruits' files and made notes on their progress chart. I was confident that they could handle what I had planned for tonight. I was glad that Jared was having a meeting during lunch hour with Sherman, because I seriously doubted he'd have got through that hour in our office without kissing or touching me. And then I would have been one very horny vampire coach at the arena. When I arrived at the arena, the entire squad was waiting and all were raring to go. Apart from Max, he wouldn't meet my eyes and couldn't have looked less enthusiastic. I might have felt sorry for him if he didn't look like a mutinous, sulky, pouty 5-year-old. Instantly they formed a perfect line in front of me and concentrated on sucking in any excess energy.
I'm impressed, I said as I reached the end of the line. There wasn't the slightest spark of energy leaking from any of you. I think that means you're ready for what I've got in mind. Chico, I want you to stand with Damien. Stuart, you stand with Denny. Butch, you're with David. Max, you stand with Harvey. And Salem, you're with Reuben. Now, take a look at who's beside you. This is who I'll be pairing you up with, not just for now, but during the attack. I'd prefer not to have to separate you during an attack, but if it comes to that, then pair up as you are now. Everyone nodded, except for one person.
You expect me to pair up with Harvey? Griped Max. You know we don't get along.
I stood directly in front of Slaphead. I expect you not to be a wanker and to push aside any negative feelings you have for who you're paired up with. Chico and Damien aren't the best of friends either. Do you hear them complaining? He spoke through his teeth.
You're doing this to piss me off because of what happened the other night, aren't you? Just like you fucked Jared to piss me off.
The cheeky little bugger. I ignored the gasps coming from the others. They seemed more shocked by Slaphead's behavior than what he'd divulged. So you think my life revolves around you, do you? And here was me thinking it was Commander Michaels who had the ego problem. I spoke in a grave, cautioning voice as I continued. Now, you listen to me. Personal business has no place in this arena. If you want to make pathetic, sly remarks, then you do so out of training time. Not now, not here. You don't waste my time or the time of the rest of the squad. You got that?
Eventually, Slaphead nodded. Again, I addressed the entire squad, who I noticed were looking at Slaphead with disgust.
As I was saying, I want you to pair up as you are now. Each of you have an excellent, powerful gift, but some of those are more offensive than others. I've paired you up with people who complement your own gift. Salem, your punch can be deadly when your power is amplified, so I've placed you with Reuben, who can amplify it for you. Chico, although your thorns are great, they can be easily dodged. However, if Damien is using his ability to astral project, he can have them looking one way while you come up from behind. Stuart and Denny, you can both travel together as mush and molecules, and hopefully get close enough for Stuart to distract the enemy, so Denny can then use his ooze or other mimicry. David, once the enemy see how profound your gift is, they will want to eliminate you fast. Butch, however, can shield you both and negate any attacks away from you while you do your thing. Also, if Max can steal the senses of any vamps surrounding us, they won't be prepared for Harvey's telekinesis.
I looked at Max with the latter sentence, driving home the point of pairing him as I had. I ushered them aside before strolling to the other end of the arena.
What I'd like you to do is revise in your mind the formations we practiced. I'll just be a sec. Tapping into the energy of the element Earth, I created several boulders and walls and a few ditches. Now for the main part of today's training.
I opened the door to the arena, and in strode Evan and his own squad of 10. Instantly, my squad turned into a crowd of giddy kids. I gave them a look that told them to take this seriously.
They each then straightened their posture and met the gazes of Evan's squad steadily.
"You sure they're ready for this, Coach?" asked Evan as he came to stand beside me.
"Only one way to find out." I stood between the squads, claiming their attention.
"I want my squad on the north side, Commander Evan Michael's squad on the south. Invade each other's territory only if you dare. Your object is to annihilate the other squad. First, I want anyone with a deadly or severe gift to come forward so Reuben can weaken it. I don't want people unconscious or dead, but I'll expect that anyone who is struck by these severe gifts to subtract themselves from their squad just as they would have been had Reuben not weakened the effects of these gifts." Once Reuben was done with that, one of Evan's squad asked,
"Coach, will you be letting us know in advance who has what gift?
Will the vampires who attack the Hollow stop, smile, and fairly announce what their gift is?" When he looked sheepish, I nodded.
"Then don't expect my squad to."
Evan and I then went to stand in the spectators' box. Although during the attack we would be there to guide them, we had both agreed that it was best for them to learn not to depend too greatly on our presence. Listen to our orders, yeah, but depend on our guidance, no. So we decided to simply observe for today. I could see that Evan was confident his own squad would win, but I didn't comment. Just as they'd practiced, Damien, Max, Chico and Harvey covered the front boulder. Denny, Reuben and Stuart covered the boulders behind them, and then Salem, David and Butch covered the rear of the squad. Evan's squad looked as though they were hoping to make the first move, but I taught my lot not to give the enemy a chance to do that. First, Damien astral projected around the first boulder of the enemy, which served two purposes. One, he could distract the enemy. Two, he could then inform Chico, Max, and Harvey how many were hiding there. Taking advantage of the enemy's distraction, Harvey used his telekinesis to zoom Max to the boulder, and he quickly stole the four members' senses. Chico used this opportunity to aim his thorns at them. Three other members of Evan's squad from behind a separate boulder aimed their gifts at Chico, but soon they were eliminated when Stuart and Denny traveled to them as mush and molecules. Stuart distracted the vamps, and Denny then oozed them while their backs were turned. Meanwhile, Reuben had been hit by the enemy, but not before having weakened some of them so their gifts were pretty useless. The rest of the enemy, there were only four left, decided to spring forth and get rid of Max and Chico, who were the ultimate threat so far. They were successful, but sadly for them, they hadn't known of David's and Salem's gifts. While Butch shielded them both, David sent psionic booms, and Salem used his psychic punches. At the same time, Harvey was sending other members of Evan's squad crashing into the walls. Done and dusted. Evan's squad had been eliminated. There were still seven left of my squad. Evan and his entire squad looked equally stunned. My lot, of course, were looking rather smug and proud, and so was I. But we behaved like adults and didn't jump for joy. Until Evan and his squad had left, of course. Then they began basking in their own greatness, and I somehow ended up in the center of a huddle, while a very odd and crap song was sung in my honor. Max, however, didn't participate. I pulled him aside as the others were leaving. "You and me need to have a little chat if this is how you're going to behave," I told him. He shrugged.
"What's there to chat about?"
"You're acting like a jilted, betrayed boyfriend, and worse still, you're acting it in the arena. For God's sake, Max, the Hollow's going to be attacked soon."
"Yeah, and I'll be ready. It doesn't mean I have to respect your ass."
I placed my face close to his. "Actually, it means exactly that. Not only do you need to respect me, you need to listen to me and follow instructions. And not just mine, but Commander Michael's as well. If I can't trust you to do that, then I swear I'll leave you behind." He snickered.
"Oh, you will?"
"Oh, I will. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take 15 minutes, and then you're going to come to my office. After I've been to see Commander Norton, I'll go there for your answer about whether or not you're going to get your act together. If you don't come, I'll take that as a no." Predictably, he stormed off.
Jared. A smile dripping with pride surfaced on my face when I caught up with Evan to tell him about the meeting that was on shortly for the commanders. only to be told that mine and Sam's squad had kicked the ass of Evans. As much as I hated to admit it, and I really, really hated to admit it, I had been totally wrong. Sam had been indispensable in having the squad in tip-top shape. I doubted I'd ever admit it aloud, but stranger things had happened.
"You're not trying to tell me it's the squad who deserves the glory, not her," observed Evan.
I just shrugged. Yep, I was right. I couldn't admit my mistake aloud. Evan narrowed his eyes, looking at me curiously, and probably wondering why I was smiling like a Cheshire cat. It was a smile that had been on my face all evening.
"Don't tell me there's something going on between you two. I mean, I know you wanted there to be, but I kind of got the feeling that she wouldn't be up for the consort lifestyle."
"She's not," was the only answer I gave him. But Evan wasn't dumb. He could guess the rest.
"Why do I get the feeling that you're not going to let it be a one-off thing?"
"Because I'm not."
"I'd say don't hurt her, but I'm sure she's the last person who needs protection, and I'm just as sure that she could kick your ass herself if she needed to."
She already had. Not a good memory for my ego.
"But I'm asking as someone who considers her a good friend. When you do decide you're done, don't do it harshly the way you usually do when it comes to women."
I didn't like the way he thought he had a right to be protective of her. I felt like that was my job, which made no sense, and yet that was how I felt all the same. Just like since the day I'd met her, I'd thought of her as mine, no matter how much I'd tried to ignore it. Again, it was something that made no sense, but it was there. And with that thought, I just had to see her. Immediately, I teleported to the office. And the sight that I found made me feel like I'd been hit in the chest with a sledgehammer. There was Sam sitting on the edge of her desk, with her arms and legs locked around Max, who she was kissing so hard and urgently, while he skated his hands down her back. An ache started in my stomach, and quickly blossomed until every single part of me hurt. I was in agony both inside and out. I wasn't even sure if I was breathing. It was like I'd been winded. As much as I wanted to dive on Max and snap every limb off his body, I couldn't seem to move. Shock had me rooted to the spot, paralyzed. I couldn't tear my eyes away from them. I didn't want to watch, but I couldn't seem to look away. Then the shock and hurt swiftly gave way to anger, and a deep, dark rage surged through me. Seething, I advanced on them. Both their heads swung to look at me, and then Sam gasped and backed away, hiding behind Max. Instantly, I stopped still. Sam was backing away? Sam was hiding behind another person? That didn't ring true. Another thing occurred to me then. My senses weren't hyper the way they usually were when she was around. I didn't feel that pull to go to her that I usually felt. There was something else I realized, too. Something that shocked the hell out of me and had me spooked. But I didn't want to think about that yet.
"She's made her choice, Michaels," said Max. "It's me she wants."
"Is that right?" I asked, folding my arms across my chest.
"The only reason she slept with you was because she wanted to get back at me."
"To get back at you?" He nodded.
"That's right."
I'm afraid I'm going to have to hear this from the horse's mouth. I raised a brow at her. She was still hiding behind Max. As I'd expected, she didn't speak. "If you expect me to believe you want him, then I'm going to need to hear you say it." Still, she didn't speak.
tell him, Sam, urged Max, stroking a hand through her hair. Tell him it's me you want. She edged closer to Max, but still she said nothing. Did you rob her ability to speak or something? I asked Max,